Good evening, everybody. What is up? Welcome to the Wednesday night edition of the Football Guys Daily Fantasy Hour, presented to you by our fine friends. Well, presented to you by us, rotogrinders.com. We thank you so much for checking us out each and every Wednesday night as we kind of get your week started. And obviously, week eight is almost upon us for this NFL season. I am Dan Bach. We also have John Tipp and Pick Lee. Austin Lee, you know them of Football Guys fame. Tip and Pick, he is the DraftKings guy. We've got Austin, who's the FanDuel guy. And I kind of just set us along our way. But we've been at this for almost a little bit under half the football season and having a good time with this show. Hopefully you guys are enjoying it. And again, great time to obviously go and subscribe both to Football Guys and Roto Grinders, whether it's our incentives or just joining our community of daily fantasy players. We're certainly happy to have you guys enjoy the show each and every week. John, last week was I'd have to say was a pretty good week, all things considered. You know, we had my cohort over at Roto Grinders, Cal Spears, win $100,000 over on Yahoo this weekend. And I saw you tweet at him.
Yeah.
And what was your tweet exactly?
So, I mean, I'm very careful as a person who hands out advice and provides advice to not take credit for when somebody does well by following said advice. That said, I saw that Cal had won $100,000 on Yahoo. And I know through personal conversations with him that he does take my advice from time to time, or at least respects it, I suppose. I hope I'm not putting words in your mouth, Cal. But I looked at his roster, and his roster had nine players on it, eight of whom were written up in my article for Football Guys last week. So very happy for him. I asked him if he had read it, and he alluded to the premise that he actually had picked up most of it by listening to our shows, including this one. So it's always nice when somebody does that. We had on the Football Guys podcast last week, we had another person who wrote a personal email. He won $50,000 in a DraftKings GPP. And it's, you know, sometimes touts catch a lot of flack for doing what they do, but it is very rewarding when the advice that we give out helps people better their lives. So I'm pretty happy for all these people.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And there seemed to be a lot of it this week all around the industry. I know Evan Silva over at Roto World does a show on Friday nights with us every couple of weeks. He had a big week this past week. I know Mr. Cheese is good, the baseball fame, a two-time millionaire qualified for a football final. And I loved his chat to me the other day saying, thanks, guys, for some helpful advice because I don't know that much about football, or thanks for the football picks. So it's great to see when things go right. They don't always, but we try to do give you the right process in doing so. And hopefully you're finding it helpful. Austin, you know, you were scot free last week in terms of our Dub Smash bet, weren't you? You get to sit back and enjoy the sweat this past week for John and I. And, you know, it was interesting there for a while. We had, what was it, DeAndre Hopkins, 20 fantasy points?
Yeah, that was a fun one to watch. Watch unfold for you guys. How was that for you, John?
it could have turned out better, but I was pretty happy when Miami jumped out to that early lead. I thought, well, this is setting up perfectly for DeAndre Hopkins to have two touchdowns in the second half. And, well, it didn't happen. My man Nate Washington, who I had in quite a few places and was also in that same article I just described, you know, he paid off, but I am paying off. So I guess it's a full circle, right?
Yeah, I thought I was toast when they got to that lead. I was like, there's no way he's not going to at least get one touchdown, 10 receptions, and like 90 yards. I was like, you know, that'll pretty much do it. And for whatever reason, it didn't happen. So yours truly safe again of the Dub Smash. Again, if you're just new and you're like, what are they talking about? Each week we do kind of a wager between two of us, and the loser has to go and pull out basically some lip syncing. But we have fun with it. And Austin's obviously the king. I think that would make Tip and Pick the queen. I don't know about that, but he puts way more effort than I do. And, you know, this week we had to pick a song, Austin, for John. And, you know, I put a lot of thought into this because, you know, we want to make it good. And I kind of have my own personal vision that I want John to fulfill. And week one, he did it. Or the first time he lost, he did it. It was Heartbreaker. And, of course, it was the kicker for San Diego making a last-second kick that, you know, broke his heart and a chance to go to what is now San Diego there for the FanDuel final. This week, there really wasn't such a heartbreaker, except I know that John, people might not know this, but, you know, besides being a football guy and, you know, really good at this daily fantasy stuff, he's actually a scientist during his day job. So I kind of sat and racked my brain, and I was like, well, what kind of scientist song can I come up with? And lo and behold, it's probably like one of my top five least favorite songs of all time.
What? But
it is. I hate it. I can't stand it. I think it's the stupidest, silliest song ever, even for 80s, which is like a stupid, silly era. But I just despise the song, but it fit so perfectly for John's Dub Smash this week. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, John Tippenpick Lee, last week's loser. All right, it's only 10 seconds, it's quick, and that's why we have Brandon roll it again, because in its all of its goodness and gloriousness, John Tippenpick lead singing, or lip-syncing, She Blinded Me with Science. Horrible song. Go. All I can say is well done, Tippenpick. Very proud of you. Now, here's my question before we get into the football analysis. We're going to do that in just a second. We've got a lot of time here. How did you pull this off? Like, I mean, number one is, do you really wear that lab coat in those specs? Is that like your daily, you know, attire? Like, I know, like, our mentality is like that's what scientists look like and what they do. But, again, a lot of times, you know, perception isn't always reality. So is that what Tippenpick does daily? Is that what you look like daily?
2 or 3 years ago, that's what I looked like daily. But I mean, now I'm getting old and moving up the ladder, the corporate ladder. And so now I would say that out of 5 days a week, 1 or 2 days, I look like that. The other days I'm in meetings talking about projects and things like this. So it's not as you know, dramatic as you might like it, but yeah.
You mean you're making like dry ice beakers or whatever the hell you did there at the end, like all day long?
No, I don't do that. Like, no. You should have seen me like sneaking around looking to make sure. Can you imagine? It's like, you know, everybody's got a PhD.
Did anybody ask you, what the hell are you doing? Did at least one person? No,
I hid in a certain room. I hid back there and I thought, I need to get this shot and get it quick. And so, you know, the last time I did the Heartbreaker, that one took me forever because I was trying to get it just right. And this one, I was like, you got to nail it on the first one, man. I felt like I was in Hollywood.
You did a tremendous job, John. So you did not disappoint. Now the question is, next week, will it be me? Will it be Austin? And we'll figure that out, obviously, on Sunday. But we'll figure out what the bet is going to be as the show goes on. All right, fellas, let's get to week 8, help some people win some money, hopefully, in daily fantasy sports, and at least, you know, your season long might be a little bit, you know, not looking so hot right now. Well, guess what? Get into daily. Now is a great time to do it. New team every week. And if you had Arian Foster in your season long team, well, shame on you. We kind of knew this was happening. But Achilles, done for the season, guys. We're going to go through the injury updates right now. So no Arian Foster, he is out. Marcus Mariota, very questionable, did throw a little bit in practice today. Antonio Gates missed last week, still doubtful, has not practiced since. Philip Dorsett, he is going to miss for the Colts. And then Tampa Bay, really banged up. Vincent Jackson looking doubtful this week. Lewis Murphy is out. And Austin Seferian Jenkins, the tight end, looks like he might come back at a pretty low price tag. So, guys, let's get it started, Austin. Arian Foster, he is out now for the season. And, you know, this is a week where they get a date with, I believe it's
Tennessee.
So, you know, maybe not the best matchup for running backs, but certainly not the worst either. But, you know, is there any interest in these backups here for Houston with Foster gone?
Well, I'm looking at the prices here. Alfred Blue is $6,500 at FanDuel and $3,500 at DraftKings. These guys are like a three-headed monster. I don't really care for these guys. I think if I was going to throw a dart at one of these guys, it would be Jonathan Grimes, 3K crapper over at DK, because he catches passes out of the backfield. So, yeah, that's the guy that I'd be looking at out of this bunch.
Yeah, FanDuel definitely bounced him up. I mean, Alfred Blue at $6,500. Who are you kidding with that salary? Like,
nope.
He should not be that high. As for Grimes, what do you think of that play there, Tip and Pick? I mean, you've picked the kind of unknown Houston player last week in Nate Washington. Any interest in these running backs?
No interest whatsoever in Blue. He's shown us who he is over the past few years. He's averaging 3.3 yards per carry over a significant sample size. I think we know what he is, and it's not much. But I actually think that the other running back there, that Chris Polk, may be the one that I would be interested in a GPP. Again, for the same reason that Austin said he's interested in Jonathan Grimes, because he catches passes. I would not be interested at all on a half point per reception site like FanDuel, but on DraftKings at minimum salary, $3,000 if he catches, four passes and goes for 50 yards. You know, he reaches cash game value. I do think at some level, though, it is kind of risky until we get a little bit of clarity with respect to how they will divvy up those touches out of the backfield, because it very well could be Grimes and Austin would be right and I would be wrong. But I would lean more towards Polk.
I don't think there's a lot to talk about with Mariota here. I don't really love him, whether he plays or if he doesn't, and then Zach Mettenberger's starting. I don't think that this is really an opportunity that I want to jump at, you know, on the road at Houston. Now, Houston hasn't been a great defense. J.J. Watt, is he banged up, if I remember? I think he might have gotten hurt this past weekend. But all in all, I just don't like these road games for a guy like Mariota, certainly coming off an injury. But Antonio Gates, on the other hand, John, you know, last week, I really wish that we would have had more certainty on this injury, because I would have absolutely loaded up on Ladarius Green. And even though it was a pretty pitiful performance when it was, you know, looked at in its totality for San Diego, he put up great numbers considering the salary. Now, that was against Oakland. Do we trust him this week, which is not going to be nearly as good of a matchup here going against Baltimore?
It's not as good of a matchup, but it's still a decent matchup. If we look, I'm looking right now at what tight ends have done against Baltimore this year. They faced Jermaine Grisham last week, who I would not characterize as a world beater tight end. He went 4 for 62. And before that, it was a list of poor tight ends: Vance McDonald, Ryan Hewitt, Michael Rivera, Owen Daniels. So they've been fairly good against the tight end position this year. But if we're looking at it a little more detail, they haven't faced a whole lot of talent. The one talented tight end they faced was Gary Barnage in week 5. He went for 8 receptions, 139 yards, and a touchdown. That tells me all that I need to know. Ladarius Green's 2,900 again this week. I think he's 2,900 on DraftKings. I could be wrong about that. I could check real quick. But he's cheap enough that I would consider him almost all in on DraftKings once again. On FanDuel, if he's was 5,100 last week, do you guys know off the top of your head what he is this week?
5,300.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he's got to get your attention because he is part of that offense. People were worried last week about Stevie Johnson stealing looks from him, and I think he still had 8 to 9 targets last week. So for that price, I'm more than happy to go with a guy like him at the tight end position, where from week to week, it really is kind of variant.
Especially at that position. And when you factor in that we're not going to have Gronk on the main slate on Sunday, I think that makes him way more appealing. I actually tipped my own cap, had some Gronk and Ladarius Green on DraftKings last week, kind of went with the double tight end And it was amazing the number of people who were off Gronkowski. And I do want to give a quick shout out to the Friday night show here, who really led me onto that pick, by the way, with the whole, you know, Todd Bowles, former defensive coordinator out there with Arizona, who couldn't guard the tight end at all with that team, taking over the Jets. And it was only a matter of time before maybe that same thing happened where too aggressive on the blitzes. And sure enough, you know, Gronk took advantage of that. So they kind of tipped me off on that one on the Friday night show last week, paid off handsomely. And if you're playing Thursday, I'm not against, if you're really into Gronk on that Thursday night against Miami, going double tight ends. And Austin, you know, on DraftKings, you know, that's actually, you know, a strategy that not a lot of people use. And especially when you can get them, you know, below 3K, that's pretty, it's pretty nice to be able to kind of get that much value at the position, especially when you pair it up with like a guy like Gronk or Greg Olsen, who are kind of de facto wide receivers.
And I think it's a nice GPP play because it's such a position with such variance. So if you're going to really try to push the limits of getting into a top heavy prize pool, you're going to want to lean into that variance a bit and pick a couple of guys with high upside. So I think leaning into that position in GPPs makes a lot of sense over at DraftKings.
Let's go Tampa Bay here, Austin. And Vincent Jackson, doubtful. Lewis Murphy out. Safarian Jenkins may return. We saw a pretty good week last week from Mike Evans. I think we all knew it was a matter of time before, you know, we saw something like that. But, you know, this week he gets Atlanta. They haven't faced Atlanta yet this year. But they do have, you know, one of the pretty, a pretty decent corner over there. But I would have felt a lot better if actually Vincent Jackson was going to be around. What do you think? Is this going to be Jameis feeding Evans after kind of finding that rapport last week against Washington? Or are you worried about Atlanta here on the road? What do you think of Evans?
I wouldn't say I'm worried about Atlanta on the road here, but it's interesting because it seems like Vincent Jackson's probably going to miss this game with a knee injury. Lewis Murphy, their third receiver, is out for sure. And Austin Safarian Jenkins is coming back from a shoulder injury. He's not a sure thing to play this week, but if he plays this week, I really like him a lot in this game. Remember, Atlanta got burned by old man Ben Watson 2 weeks ago, and Austin Safarian Jenkins is only 5,200 at FanDuel and 2,800 at DraftKings. I may like him even more than Ladarius Green if Safarian Jenkins is playing.
What do you think of that, John? Is it Safarian Jenkins? Is he on par with Green for you if he's good to go? I think he's going to play. He's been practicing.
Yeah, I think he's going to play too. And I actually love that call, Austin. I think you nailed it. If we looked at what he did early in the season, he started off the season with two touchdowns in the first game, gets injured in the second game. He's a key component of this offense. And for a guy like Jameis Winston, who he had a decent week last week, but he's really struggled this year with throwing the ball past 10 to 15 yards. So, you know, Austin Safarian Jenkins is going to be right in his sweet spot of accuracy and comfort. So I think that at this price, I think he's a wonderful play. The other guy that I think we can safely ignore, but I want to talk about him because I like his history, is Vonte Dye, the wide receiver too, because of all of this. Do you guys know where he went to college?
Vonte Dye?
Dante Dye.
No clue. I've actually never heard of him before. And I follow professional and college football pretty close.
I almost said I would do a dub smash if you guys could answer this, but I didn't want to do one just in case you had freakish college knowledge. And I was a little afraid of saying that. So I'm glad he went to Heidelberg University.
Oh, Heidelberg.
I thought I missed that.
That is that's up your neck of the woods, is it not, Dan? Didn't you go to Ohio?
I did go to Ohio University.
This is in Tiffin, Ohio.
Tiffin, I believe Tiffin is around Columbus, I can remember back. So, you know, we're like Southeast Ohio. We're kind of like Appalachia. Like we're actually, you know, closer to West Virginia than we are like, you know, one of the many real cities in Ohio, but that's okay.
He's a D3 standout. You know, I don't know how that translates to the NFL, but he'll be on the field. And I got to imagine that if he is available, he's sight minimum and probably will not get a whole lot of attention from the defensive backs when Mike Evans is on the other side. So deep sleeper this week.
that one hits tip and pick. I don't know. Crazy. Let's go to the questionable tags for this week. We'll start with Ben Roethlisberger. Obviously, with that knee injury, did not play last week. Still very iffy this week. Josh McCown with the Browns with a shoulder injury, also probable. But Manziel did take some snaps with the first team today. Deion Lewis, questionable for the Thursday night game for the Patriots with that abdomen. Chris Ivory with a quad, probable, I guess. I think somebody said he practiced in full, but then I also heard that he didn't practice. So I don't know what's up with him. Joseph Randall, doubtful for the Cowboys. Darren McFadden looks like he is going to be the starting running back there for Dallas. Carlos Hyde, probable this weekend. James Starks, probable. The sheet says Fat Eddie Lacy against Denver. No exclamation point. So whoever added that one, good job.
That was me.
Cecil Shorts. He is questionable again this week. Nate Washington obviously had the big week a week ago. Dez Bryant, we've got him listed as doubtful. I'm going to make my own personal adjustment to that and make him questionable this week because I think there's a pretty good chance he ends up playing. Devontae Adams, probable for the Packers after the bye week. Okay, let's start with Big Ben here, guys. John, you know, we saw it last week, and I kind of called it in the sense that I didn't trust Landry Jones that much on the road, and it kind of paid off there. I mean, he just looked awful. Antonio Brown actually had some decent numbers when it was said and done, but I think we can all agree we need Ben Roethlisberger to come back. I think it helps everyone, even, you know, the running game in Le'Veon Bell, because you kind of knew Kansas City was saying, okay, well, we're not going to let Le'Veon Bell beat us, and he really didn't do that last week. So do you think that this is the week we see Ben return?
I do think this is the week that we see Big Ben return. Last week, he wanted to play. He was interviewed before and after. He said that he felt that he was able. The medical staff was in disagreement with that. And today he practiced in full. I think it will be interesting to see how he comes out of practice today. We record this on Wednesday, so how does he look on Thursday? And each day they will push him a bit harder to see how he comes out of it. If he's practicing on Friday, I think you can slot him in, and I agree completely. This offense is completely different with Big Ben in there, and this will be the first game, if he is playing, this will be the first game all year through, 8 weeks, that he has had his full bevy of weapons, that including Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, and Le'Veon Bell. And I, little teaser, think that this game could be a shootout.
Interesting. Before I get to Austin's take on this, I just got this tweet. I feel bad. Like, I love doing this show more than probably just about any other show. It's kind of 1-1A with Head Chopper tomorrow night. But somebody just tweeted me and said they are talking about Daily Fantasy on the Republican debate right now. Like, I was wondering, like, is DFS going to make it into the debates? Apparently it happened. So awesome. I don't know if I did not record that. So I don't know how I'm going to watch that back, maybe somewhere online or something, but that's got to be pretty awesome. Austin, what is your take here? Because, you know, we see Antonio Brown at 8,400 on FanDuel, Martavis Bryant at 7,200. But Cincinnati is not like a cakewalk. They got some, you know, decent corners out there. Is Brown, I mean, I think if we knew we had a fully healthy, you know, Big Ben, 8,400 is a bargain. Are you still willing to make him maybe a cash game play at that price tag against a tougher matchup here? Your thoughts?
I'm not willing to make him a cash game play. I am very interested in him as a GPP play. I don't think we'll see Brown's salary this cheap again this year as long as Ben is healthy. And Martavis Bryant at 5,300 on DraftKings, that still feels pretty nice to me. So I'm really excited about what Ben will do for both of these receivers, as well as being able to lean into Le'Veon Bell a little bit more in cash games. He's, you know, pretty high up there in price, but I feel a lot more confident with Ben under center paying up for Bell this week.
Yeah, Bryant got that touchdown. I was on the all-out fade last week on him and, what, 3 receptions. It almost worked out perfectly, but did get a touchdown at the end. But we'll certainly monitor Big Ben. He makes everyone around that team much, much better. Josh McCown, I don't think we're looking at him against Arizona here. I don't think we're looking at Menzel against Arizona here. But Deion Lewis, officially questionable here for New England, didn't play this past week. But that was, you know, that matchup was tough there against the Jets. I think you look at this Dolphins defense, they look totally different here than we saw the first couple weeks when Joe Philbin was around. What kind of game is this sizing up to be for you? I mean, we'll focus a little bit more on it, but if, let's say he's healthy, is it a Deion Lewis game, or is it a LeGarrette Blount game, or is it neither of their games and just play Tom Brady and Gronk?
Are you asking me or Austin?
Did I not say you? I think John.
Maybe you did. Okay. I thought I heard Austin chime in. Sorry. It's an interesting game. You know, the thing with the Patriots is Bill Belichick. Every time you think you understand what he's going to do, he goes and does something else. And Austin just made the perfect devil sign. This is just exactly what he is for DFS. And frankly, I don't play a whole lot of the Thursday games. I think we've established that by this point. This is another Thursday game I think I'll be avoiding. I need to be very, very sure of what's happening on Thursday night to be involved. I know people aren't tuning in and listening to this on their commutes to have me say, I'm not really sure what's going to happen, but unfortunately I'm not really sure what's going to happen here. I think that this game sets up better for the Patriots to throw the ball because as you point out, Miami has been better against the run, but it really is. It's a really difficult thing to predict here. So I think I'm staying away from it altogether with the exception of maybe Lamar Miller. On the Miami side, because I think that the Patriots have been pretty miserable at stopping the run this year.
Let's go to the Dallas running game, Austin. Are you willing to roll some Darren McFadden? Run DMC looked pretty good last week, but, you know, obviously Seattle, not a very good matchup for him whatsoever, but 6,400 on FanDuel. Don't have his DraftKings salary in front of me, but if I was going to guess, I'm going to say 4.1K.
Anybody very close. Very close. He's 3,800 at DK, which makes him very appealing to me in GPPs over there. I think they're going to be playing from behind in this one against Seattle. And so I could see him catching quite a few passes. 3,800 is kind of tasty. I like him for GPPs.
Yeah. I mean, 3,800. I mean, he got 29 carries against that Giants defense this past week. And Seattle obviously much improved, but at least this game is in Dallas, not in Seattle. Whether or not he can make it through the whole game without being hurt is another thing, tip and pick. Your thoughts on that situation being a Cowboys fan?
Yeah, I really think this game depends on Dez. If Dez comes back and plays, and I kind of agree with you, I think he will. He took a private plane to New York last week, and he was catching balls in the pregame. He looked pretty good. He's in practice. I expect him to be back this week. If he's back, I'll buy into DMC this week because I think that Seattle will have somebody else to focus on. But without Dez, I think they can pretty much shut down this entire offense. Castle looked horrendous last week. I just don't think this is a great matchup without some distraction that is above and beyond Matt Castle and DMC. So my take on this is completely contingent on Dez.
Next up, Carlos Hyde. Again, he is not anybody I'm interested in. I'm not interested in anything going on with San Francisco. Certainly a road game at St. Louis, I think you'd agree, doesn't set up very well for them. The run game against Denver, I mean, Denver's defense, Austin, has been just spectacular this year. I don't even really want to look at what Fat Eddie's salary is, but I'm going to real quick. At 6,700. Starks at 58, you know, how is he cheaper than Eddie Lacy right now? He's been the better player.
They're pricing them by the pound.
Oh! Hey-oh! The gentleman, Austin Lee. I love that. It's a good joke. Might steal that one later in the week. What do you think? I mean, let's just talk about this game in general here, guys. I mean, Green Bay is by far the best offense Denver has faced this season. I think Green Bay obviously had Seattle earlier this year, but Denver has been bar none the best defense in the NFL. how are we looking at this game here, guys? Austin, your read overall, you know, in its totality, whether it's Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, running backs, what do you think Green Bay, Denver? It's going to be, what, Sunday Night Football?
Yeah, it's interesting because both of these teams, generally, you expect a lot of great fantasy goodness from them. But because of the situation, Vegas only has this as a 45.5 point total. That's really low considering which offenses are in this game. I am not real excited about the players in this game because their prices are inflated from big games they've had in previous weeks. And this is going to be one of their lowest weeks of the year. So I don't see how you find a whole lot of value in this game.
Well, I don't think you're going to find it in Green Bay, that's for certain. But, John, we've got a guy with a noodle arm named Peyton Manning, who's 7,600. We've got a top wide receiver in the league in Demaryius Thomas, who's 8,100. Even Manny Sanders at 7,800 is not a terrible salary. Any chance Denver has to play differently in this game and is coming from behind and has to throw it around and Peyton Manning does something here this week? Any interest in him? Any?
I have very little interest in this game. I actually think it's almost an out-and-out fade for some of the reasons that Austin was saying. If we look at just the Denver defense is stifling. I mean, I don't think that we've seen a defense like this in, I don't know, 5 or 10 years. It's that good. I don't think that the Green Bay Packers will be able to run on them at all. And I think that these wide receivers are going to have a lot of trouble with the cornerbacks that Denver's putting out there each and every week. So I don't see Green Bay doing a whole lot. If anybody does well in this game, I do think, Dan, to your point, it probably will be the Denver offense. That said, I think that it's probably one of these running backs who we hate rostering.
No. Because
we'll always guess wrong. No. Listen, you got to hear me out. Green Bay is absolutely bad. They're really bad against the run. I think they're averaging almost 5 yards per carry on the season. And so, you know, Denver's offense, it's not been good. But if you're going to pay for somebody, who are you paying for? I would rather take the cheap Ronnie Hillman at, I don't know what his salary is, but I'm guessing it's around
6,100.
Who? 61?
6,100 at FanDuel and 4,600 at DraftKings.
I think on FanDuel, I think he's a good GPP.
No.
Why?
Because the running backs are not good there for Denver. Like, even though Green Bay's rush defense is weak, they're also in a situation where teams don't even have to run against them. Like, I think those numbers could be a bit skewed. I don't know.
Ronnie Hillman has 200-yard games in the past three. And he's 61.
Against Minnesota and Cleveland. Yeah, who Carlos Hyde looked like a superstar. And, you know, Todd Gurley, who is a superstar, went bonkers. Everyone's done well against Cleveland except Melvin Gordon. I'm just telling you, I'm not buying into Ronnie Hillman.
I prefaced the whole thing by saying I might be fading the entire game, but if I were to take one, it would probably be Ronnie Hillman, and I stand by my rationale.
I don't know. Too bad we don't have a dub smash bet here.
I don't want to stop you guys if you guys really want to do a dub smash bet.
Ronnie freaking Hillman. If you want to – no, okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see on this one. But so you're saying, like – you know, Manning's price is just way low. I mean, there's a chance he could be coming from behind here. I mean, we've got him in the over-under, so we'll save that one. But it doesn't sound like you think, like, it's even possible for him to be making value on that low, low salary. I mean, let's just compare. And again, I know he's not the name. He's not Peyton Manning that we, you know, knew of old. But, you know, he is in Ryan Fitzpatrick, Joe Flacco kind of territory over there. But guess nobody's interested in him, huh?
If Peyton Manning reaches value this week, it will be on the legs of Demaryius Thomas and not the arm of Peyton Manning.
Hey,
yards after the catch.
That's fair enough. That
still counts, but
it still counts. All right, let's move on to Cecil Shorts. He's out. Obviously, Nate Washington. We'll get to him in just a moment. Dez Bryant, we kind of already talked about. And Devontae Adams also in that Green Bay game. Obviously, maybe just give one more target there for Aaron Rodgers in that tough matchup. But let's go to our Week 7 review and our top performances of the week. Charkhandrick West kind of putting us in our place. We were not really on him, but boy, did he look good last week, Austin. Note here, again, shout out to Lord Reeves. He had a nice column on Roto World kind of previewing this week. And 71% of the snaps this week – oh, no, sorry – 76% of Kansas City's running attempts came from Charkhandrick West. That's a huge percentage for anyone, let alone a guy who's at a pretty low salary. Is he kind of changing your mind at all about him moving forward? Obviously, Kansas City looks like they are on bye this week, but do we have to pay attention to him down the road?
I think you have to pay attention because of that percentage workload. That's the big thing. I mean, when we were talking about West earlier, it was a question of, you know, whether him and Nile Davis were going to split this a lot. But it seems like West is the guy. So I think you have to take it seriously. So you said he's on the bye this week. I think he's playing
in London this week.
They're in London.
Oh, they're in London. Okay.
They're London bound.
I had the Sunday slate up. So that's why he wasn't there. So,
yeah.
So what do you think
in that early game? I think. Let's see. He's 6,600 at FanDuel, 4,700 at DraftKings. These London games tend to be ugly. And I think if anything's going to survive, it's going to be the run game. But man, these two teams are terrible at covering receivers. I got to think that they're going to go to the air a little bit more here. Both of these teams are just really bad at covering receivers. So I'm going to say no on West this week.
I like Charkhandrick West better than I like Ronnie Hillman.
That sounds like a dub smash bet.
I'm just saying. I don't. What do you think, John? I mean, Detroit's not a too stout of a defense there. You're right. These London games usually are stinkers, but we saw last week two teams, which, you know, I think they both got improved offenses, but, you know, EJ Manuel is far from a great quarterback, but still. You know, had a lot of points put up on the board between the Jags and the Bills. What do you think of Charkhandrick and this matchup in general for Saturday, which, again, very useful if you're playing the Thursday night games?
Yeah, I mean, I think that West is a decent play. I mean, the game script looks like it sets up well for them. They're almost a touchdown favorite. Looking over the defensive stats in the league, no team has allowed more rushing touchdowns than Detroit this year. They've given up 10 through 7 games. Given what we saw here about the volume, yeah, I think he's a fine play. And I might even argue he's as good as Ronnie Hillman. So I'm with you.
And I don't hate Calvin Johnson either in this game. Kansas City's been bad against opposing wide receivers. Touchdowns in each of his last two games. Decent enough salary at 8,600. Here's one for you. Would you rather have Calvin at 86 or Antonio Brown at 83 with a healthy, well, with Big Ben back? I don't know how healthy he is, but back. What do you say, John?
We might talk about it here in a bit, but I think that the better matchup than that game is Martavis Bryant. So Martavis Bryant would be the receiver I'd be on this week. So
that's not what I'm asking.
Well, the answer to your question is Antonio Brown, or not Antonio Brown. It's Calvin Johnson, because I think.
What do you think, Austin?
I like Antonio Brown here.
Okay, well, I'm not going to make Calvin Johnson, you know, make you dub smash 2 weeks, you know, two times.
He can't beat me twice, Dan.
Exactly.
Lightning does not strike twice.
No double jeopardy here or whatever that is. I don't know.
1.24 gigawatts? That would take a bolt of lightning.
Making stuff up. All right, other big performances, John. Stephon Diggs, this kid looks legit. Another 100-yard game this past week gets Chicago here this week, and the price hasn't come up, I think, nearly enough on FanDuel. I still think he's, what, under 7K at 6,700. I believe he might even be under 5K over on DraftKings. They did not boost a lot of salaries last week. Are you buying in on Stephon Diggs? I think you have to, right?
Yeah. How can you not with the volume that he's seeing? He looks fantastic. He's doing everything they're asking of him in that offense. I'll comment more when we get to the over-unders about what I think about him this week.
Okay. Next up is Mike Evans. We talked about a little bit already, Austin, but T.Y. Hilton, he's a guy last week that, you know, I think we might have gotten a little bit cute with it. Everybody was like, oh, Delvin Bro's going to guard him. Don't play T.Y. Hilton. And Bro is a really good really good cornerback. Don't get me wrong. And there was even a little bit of flukiness in that. I think on one of those catches, Bro fell down for like an 86-yard touchdown pass. But, you know, I think we all paired up Moncrief with Luck. And Hilton was the guy who really paid it off. Moncrief kind of got that late touchdown, which is helpful for me. But what do you think of Hilton's matchup this week? Do you think that we're going to have Norman on Hilton? Do you think we're going to have Norman on Moncrief? How do you think that's going to go? Because whoever Norman is not on is likely, I think, going to be a heavy target here against Carolina on Monday Night Football.
I think like most sort of like shadow corner situations, I don't think it's going to be 100% either guy, but I think we're going to see him more on Hilton than we are on Moncrief. And so I'm not big on T.Y. Hilton this week. Carolina has a knack for shutting down number one receivers. And so I think if you're going to go somewhere, I would go Moncrief. Although this, I think, is a pretty low scoring affair. It's a 46-point game and Carolina is favored by 7.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a big spread, man. That's a big spread.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm not a big fan here. Yeah. I'm not big on Indy here. Vegas has Indy scoring under 20 points. That's crazy.
Yeah. Vegas is smart though, John.
Yeah.
This could be the last week for Mr. Pagano over there. I think this could be it.
I agree. This team looks like a mess. They have talented players. There's no reason for them to be playing as poorly as they have been. I would not be surprised to see Pagano gone very soon. The truth is, if you know, not his health condition notwithstanding, he likely would have been gone before now.
And Jacksonville's Super Bowl odds went from 300 to 1 to 50 to 1 in 1 week. How about that? Go Jacksonville. Next up, Lamar Miller. I mean, he's been insane here, John, the last couple of weeks. Talk about, you know, the change in coaching, you know, really absolutely kind of changing his prospects. Tough matchup here on Thursday night. You know, we can talk about that game. I know he's in our over-unders as well, but – you know, real quickly, we look on DraftKings this week. They raised him $100 after he scored like a million DraftKings points. If you're playing Thursday night, are you fading? I know you like to fade Thursday night heroes, but let's face it, this could be a situation where we saw Todd Gurley last week at 5K, and even in tournaments, it wasn't worth fading. And if you did it, it was a big mistake. What do you think of Mr. Miller's newfound role here with the new coaching staff?
Yeah, it is what it should have been at the very beginning of the season. Great. I mean, last year he was amazing. He was very underrated last year. He had 8 touchdowns, 1,100 yards. He averaged over 5 yards a carry. And they came out this year throwing the ball like crazy. I think they averaged 75% pass to run, 75% pass, 25% run. With Phil Bennett at the head coach slot. And over the past few weeks, it's gone the opposite. Now, in fairness, they have been winning. So, of course, you would expect a bit more heavy on the run. But it's just a much more balanced offense. And I think that there's not as much pressure on Tannehill to try to do too much with this new receiving core that he has. It's just a much better offense. With regards to tomorrow night playing against the Patriots, you know, I said earlier in the video here that the Patriots are giving up 4.5 yards per carry on the year, which is in the bottom third of the league. So they can be beaten on the run as long as the other team doesn't fall too far behind. So that'll be the caveat here. If Miami can keep the game close, I think that Lamar Miller has a great shot of being a very good DFS play this week.
Gronkowski, big week for him last week, and I don't think anybody's surprised to see him kind of go off. That's what Gronk does, but you know what? Hopefully some of you took advantage of it who had been burned in weeks past because he was not a very popular play last week. Chris Johnson, another 100-yard rushing game for Arizona. TJ Yeldon, not a bad performance for Jacksonville. He's got the bye week this week. Let's move on to some bad performances from this week. DeAndre Hopkins. Austin, do you think that the public's going to drop off of Hopkins after burning a large portion of people? He was probably the highest owned wide receiver last week. He and Larry Fitzgerald were 1 and 2, and both of them put up kind of dog games. What do you think of DeAndre Hopkins? And we'll talk Larry Fitzgerald this week. You think their ownership comes down a good bit from what we saw last week?
I think it does. I think more people are going to pay the extra couple $100 for Julio Jones. I think they're going to flock to that after him having a big game. They're going to see this matchup against Tampa Bay and go, we're not scared of Tampa Bay. So I think we're going to see Julio more highly owned than Hopkins. So this could be an opportunity to get a really high quality player that is less owned here against Tennessee. I'm not afraid of Hopkins going up against Tennessee. So,
Come on. You're not afraid of Hopkins going up against, say, a top tip and pick?
Bleedy Ray Wilson.
There you go.
Oh, well, if it's Bleedy Ray Wilson, I'm going to have to rethink my stance.
But Julio's in a prime matchup here versus Tampa Bay. I mean, I think Julio is a better play than Hopkins this week. Do you agree, Austin?
I do agree. I do. But if you're chasing sort of like going against the grain in terms of ownership, I think that Hopkins is a fine play too.
Yeah, I honestly think that it's going to be close between them. I agree. It's going to come down mightily on Hopkins, but I don't think it's going to be roles reversed where we've got Julio at 35% owned and Hopkins at 11. I think they might both be hanging around that 20 to 22% owned territory. We'll see. John, let's keep moving. We've got, dare I say, bad performances from Melvin Gordon and Bishop Sankey. I don't think anybody's interested in them. Christine Michael did not do much. But the surprises from last week, a guy named Orleans kind of showed up. What do you know about Orleans Darkwa?
I do not know a whole lot about Orleans Darkwa other than where he went to college.
Tulane, right?
Yes, that's correct. And the fact that he carried the ball 8 times last week in a backfield that has 3 other running backs. And in all of my season leagues, he was picked up this week. I don't get it. I think it's madness. That backfield got more crowded when he got introduced, and people are clamoring to pick him up. We're talking about him on a DFS show. I don't think that we should be until there's a more clear-cut role for him that includes more volume than 8 carries or 8 touches in a game.
Well, we can get into the last surprise and also segue into recency bias with a guy by the name of Nate Washington, who won a lot of people some money this past week. Tip and pick, I know you talked about him, I think a little bit on this show, but I know on Sunday morning you definitely mentioned to him. And you also talked about him in your tips and picks column over there on Football Guys. Must read. But he is 5,400 here on FanDuel this week. Are we buying into him with Cecil Shorts likely out? And how much do you think, you know, recency bias plays into him this week? You expect him to be really popular?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think last week was the week to have him. All the pieces fit last week. This week against Tennessee, Tennessee does not defend the run well, so we might see a little bit more of Alfred Blue than any of us want to see. They are 7-point favorites.
You hate Alfred Blue.
I do hate this guy. I don't think he's good at football at all. But, you know, I think they'll look to see if they can get DeAndre Hopkins back on track. Nate Washington is still an okay play. I just don't think he's as strong of a play as he was last week. And in GPPs, he will be way over-owned because of what he did last week and the price that he's offered at. So I think he's more of a fade for GPPs because I don't think he has another 2-touchdown day in him with the other talent on that team.
Well, let's look. He's 5,400 over there on FanDuel. Is there anybody else in that price range that you like better than him?
5,400.
We've got Kamar Aiken. We've got Lance Moore. We've got Doug Baldwin.
Tavon Austin.
Ruben Randall.
Can I go up a little bit to Michael Crabtree at 5,700?
I guess you can, but man, he hasn't been anything special.
He's getting a lot of volume, and this week
he did get a touchdown last week.
This week, Amari Cooper will be on Revis Island. I think that they'll have to throw to Crabtree. That game, actually, I think Fitzpatrick, he was going to be one of my bold prediction or my bold prediction this week, but I scampered off of that at the last minute. So I think that this game actually sets up well for the Oakland passing game, and that probably is Crabtree. So I do like Crabtree a bit more than Nate Washington at a similar price.
Yeah, I don't mind Willie Snead at 5,800 either, a little bit more. So there we go. In terms of the negative, Devontae Freeman, again, what do you think of him this week here? Austin, he's a guy who it wasn't really bad last week. I mean, they had the ball first and goal in the one, and they didn't run him once. So if he, you know, gets that touchdown, I think everybody's fairly happy with the outcome, but he didn't score. And I think a lot of people were a little mad they kind of took him over Lamar Miller. What do you think of him this week at 9,100 on FanDuel against Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I think you got to put him back in there. I don't think you can get discouraged by a mediocre performance last week. Now, he is the highest priced running back at FanDuel and the second highest at DraftKings. So this is more of a cash gameplay, I feel like, than it is a GPP situation. I don't see him getting 3x value at FanDuel at that price, but I think he's a solid cash game play in a game that Atlanta's favored by a touchdown.
I don't love him at 9,100. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, 200 cheaper. Adrian Peterson against Chicago, 200 cheaper. Marshawn Lynch, maybe not against Dallas. Matt Forte at 900 cheaper. Todd Gurley at 1,000 cheaper.
I like Gurley there.
I'm off of Devontae Freeman here this week. I just think he's too expensive, John.
I don't think he's too expensive. It really, for me, it would be about opportunity cost. I have not made a roster or a lineup at this point in the week. That said, looking at the projections, it looks like he's well within cash game range. It's just a matter of if I take him at 9,100, where do I skimp out at the wide receiver position? And am I taking too much of a chance there? So for me, it's about opportunity cost. I think the matchup is fine. The game script actually sets up favorably. So I could do it, again, contingent on the opportunity cost.
All right. It's time for our over-unders here this week. And guys, Austin, we're going to start off with Thursday night. A couple of guys in this game. We've got Lamar Miller at 85 yards. Seems like a given considering the last two games, but I'd be surprised if Vegas sets that anywhere higher than that number. So what do you think? Over under 85?
I've got him over. I feel like the issue here has been workload for Lamar Miller, and that's part of why he's been so terrible the first part of the year. Now, the game script could play out that Miami's playing from behind and they rush less, but I do see Miller being involved in the passing game enough that I think that he'll be active here. But 85 rushing yards, I think he'll get that. You know, he's totally blown that away the past 2 weeks. I think he'll get that.
John, you agree?
I agree. All right. 4.5 yards per carry against the Patriots this year.
Yeah, I tend to agree with 85. I don't know if that number was like 100, whether I'd go over, but 85, I think he's going to be over that number this week. Rob Gronkowski, tip and pick, 17 FanDuel points. What do you think?
Of all the over-unders on the list, this was the one I had the most trouble with because I think it's really close. I went under, but by a hair. I think 16 points. So this is really close, but I'm going under.
Austin.
Again, this is a tough one, but I'm going to go over on this. Despite Miami kind of being a little bit of a negative matchup for most tight ends, they're, I'm going to go over. I can't bet against Gronk here.
I think I'm going to go under here on this one. Last week set up perfectly for him, especially when you had – you know, Revis and Edelman, it really kind of felt like a game for him to get additional targets. It happened. The couple of games prior, they obviously weren't looking to Gronk nearly as much. So I'm going to say under 17 on this one. Chris Johnson this week, over under 100 total yards. Austin.
Oh, this is one of the ones we pitched out to Twitter beforehand.
Yes.
Let's take a look at the voting results here. Looks like we got 128 votes. Okay. 52% said over and 48% said under.
Damn, that's a good line yours truly sent. You know, bookmaker? No.
That was awesome.
Yeah, but 100 yards. What do you think? Public split.
Yeah, I'm going to say over on this. Cleveland over the past 5 weeks have allowed running backs to score 51% more fantasy points than they typically score. So Cleveland is just bad against the running back.
Is he in play for you for DFS this week?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, for sure. He is
73 on FanDuel
and 4,600 on DraftKings. He's in that same kind of range as like Doug Martin. So like, I like Doug Martin too, but, I like him more than like Lamar Miller, Chris Ivory kind of territory.
Okay. What do you think? 100 yards tip and pick.
Vegas would tell me to say no, but I'm with you guys. I think this is an over here. The matchup is great. He's getting increased volume. Week five, he had 11 carries. Week six, he had 14. Last week, he had 18. Maybe he gets 20 this week. And they're 5-point favorites. They're supposed to score about 26 points if he gets any bit of that action. Yeah, I think he's a good play, and I think 100 yards is well within reach.
And I think, you know, the biggest problem with Johnson recently, you know, in years past, was there was really no passing game. This passing game sets up that run tremendously, and I think that's allowing him to have better lanes. And, you know, before it was, we've got Chris Johnson, and that's it. Now it's like, okay, we've got other guys, we've got a passing game, and we've got this running back whose name is Chris Johnson. And, you know, he's just kind of getting it done. He's not the focal point. Nobody's really looking at him. So I agree. The matchup versus Cleveland sets up. I'll go over total 100 yards. Not sure I'm in love with them, though, still with DFS this week, because he doesn't get in the end zone, at least on FanDuel. I don't think that's going to be good enough for me. Here's one that you might have looked at and wondered, like, what the hell? But Jeff Cumberland, 3 receptions, tip and pick.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, why is this guy on there? And then I said, he has to be playing Oakland, and he was. So it's a tight end against Oakland if you're listening in. And my answer is under. This guy has not caught more than 3 passes since week 1 of 2014. That tells me all that I need to know.
He's caught 3 passes all year.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if it was ever going to happen, it's this week. Austin, are you taking under as well?
Yeah. Would you like the dub smash bet me?
No. Are you kidding me? I don't know. He's 4,600 on FanDuel, but no, he might get 3 receptions. He's not going to go over 3 receptions. He might get 3, but no, there's no dub smashing going on with Jeff Cumberland. Please. Okay, next up, we've got Drew Brees. Another one, Austin, we had on our poll at 18 FanDuel points. What do you think?
This one wasn't quite as close. We had 58% over and 42% under.
It's still not bad.
Yeah, it's still pretty close.
Still pretty close. I'm going to go with the minority here and take the under. So let's see. Drew Brees has only done this once in 6 games this year. The Giants are a negative matchup, and only 3 out of 7 quarterbacks have done it against the Giants this year. So I'm taking the under.
Before I open my mouth, tip and pick.
I have a feeling that Dan and I agree on this one. I am taking over, and I feel pretty confident about it at that. The Giants are allowing the 3rd most yards in passing yards on the season at 290 per game. The reason that the fantasy points haven't come is that they've only given up 10 touchdowns.
Dang it. I should have done it before.
He'll take it. He'll take it. I mean, the touchdowns haven't been there. And for me, if the yardage is there, the touchdowns will come through variance and regression and all that fancy, statistical stuff. So I think this is a great game for New Orleans. Their team total is the 4th highest on the board. Over 18.
I definitely think it's over 18. Austin, I'll put it out there, 18 points. Tip and pick might have talked you off of it, but it's up to you on this one. We might have others we can choose.
I've got another one I've got my eye on. Can we maybe put a pin in this one and come back to it?
Tip and pick.
Like the old you should have gone first. You're the host.
I should have. You're right. Peyton Manning, 15 FanDuel points. Tip and pick.
Under. I told you already. I think this game is – an ugly fantasy game despite historical performance by both of these teams.
Austin, he has hit over 15 fantasy points twice this season against Kansas City and Detroit. Does he do it here?
I think he does it here. I don't feel great about it, but I think he does it here. Four other quarterbacks have done it against Green Bay. I think he's going to be the fifth.
I agree. I think he does go over that number. I think he throws multiple touchdowns this week, but only like two. Still counts as multiple. Next up, Aaron Rodgers, 2.5 touchdown passes. Austin?
Under. The Green Bay's average is about 2.5, but Denver's only allowed 5 passing touchdowns this whole year. So I'm going to go under.
Tip a pick?
What Austin said.
I'm with you, too. I think it's under on that. Stephon Diggs. Sorry, Austin. Stephon Diggs, 15 FanDuel points. I will start out, and I think he's going to go under that here against Chicago. I think it'll be close to 15, but I'm going to go under 15 FanDuel points. Austin.
Yeah, I'm under two. You know, he's done it in back-to-back weeks, and Chicago's a plus matchup here, but I'm still taking the under.
Yeah, I think people are going to wake up to him a little bit more and say, hey, maybe we should slide more coverage his way than Mike Wallace's way. Austin, or John, what do you think?
I agree with you guys. I think, you know, the 15 points, basically, that means he has to get well over 100 yards and a bunch of catches without a touchdown. I don't think that happens because of the added protection, and he needs a touchdown. And with a team total of 21 points, I just don't see it happening.
And Austin, Mike Evans, over under 0.5 touchdown. Does he score one or not?
Yeah, I think he scores one.
John?
I agree. I think he scores one. He and ASJ both get a touchdown this weekend.
Ooh, good one. I think he gets one too. I mean, he's the only target they have, really, you know, when it comes down. They've got Safarian Jenkins too, but in terms of their wide receiving core, he's the top dog right now. He got a lot of looks last week. Kind of built that rapport we've been waiting for. So I don't mind him. All right. We've got some cornerback matchups, wide receiver matchups. John, you get us started. Give us a couple to take a look at here.
Yeah, so I think that there are a couple. We've already talked about a few of them. Julio Jones going up against Jonathan Banks in Tampa Bay is a great matchup. I don't think we really need, though, any reason to take Julio Jones. So I'll bypass that one, go any further. Alshon Jeffrey against Xavier Rhodes, who's really struggled this year. Xavier Rhodes is a young cornerback who has shown flashes of brilliance. He reminds me of the cornerback who, of course, I can't think of his name in Chicago, who has shown flashes of brilliance as well, but tends to get burnt because he over Kyle Fuller, who overplays his hand sometimes. And Xavier Rhodes is very similar. Alshon Jeffrey looked really good in his first week back after that long layoff. I expect to see him give Xavier Rhodes all he can handle this week. And the last one I alluded to earlier, Martavis Bryant gets a great matchup against Dre Kirkpatrick, who has been burned multiple times in that Bengal secondary. It's generally a pretty good defense, but he's definitely the weak spot. And I think Martavis Bryant has a type of big play ability that if Ben Roethlisberger is in there, he can hit him for a long strike and get all the points you need in one play.
Austin, any situations that you really are not too fond of here that you think we got to stay away from?
Well, I think we've alluded to Michael Crabtree being a good play this week, and I think Amari Cooper is going to have his hands full this week playing against the Jets. So that's one that I'm going to be off of a little bit. Even though Cooper had a strong game against some strong coverage last week, I think he's going to have a little bit more trouble this week.
All right, guys, let's talk about Thursday night. Thursday night heroes, John, you kind of created that title, and a lot of times we say throw some cash games out there. People are going to load up on this Thursday night game, but at a total of 51 points, you've got guys like Brady, Lamar Miller, Jarvis Landry's been a stud this year, Edelman. There's a lot of potential for that to kind of backfire this week, and those heroes get paid off handsomely. Are you just kind of sitting Thursday night cash out for that reason, or do you think there's opportunity here? What do you think?
Yeah, I think I'm largely off of the game. If I'm taking anybody from this game, my number one pick would be Lamar Miller. He's hot. He's looked great. They're using him the way they should be using them. I think that's Dan Campbell will want to try to run the ball to slow down New England's offense. It just makes a whole lot of sense to throw him in there. But everybody in this game, as you said, it's a 51-point total. So everybody in terms of the DFS world is going to be on here. And so I don't think there's a whole lot of advantage to be gained by playing it unless you think that these players are going to all bomb. I don't necessarily think that's going to be the case. My concern is that I won't pick the right guy. If I'm on Edelman, it'll be Amendola. If I'm on Gronk, it'll be Edelman. And so for that reason, I think I want to stay away from it unless it's just keying on Lamar Miller and possibly Jarvis Landry, who's looked really good the last few weeks.
What do you think of this game, Austin? I'm not going to lie. This spread, you know, Pats by 8. On the road, or is this game in New England? This game
yes.
in New England?
It's okay. in New England, yeah.
That's about right then. What do you think? What's your outlook here?
Yeah, I'm not real excited about this. I think that the Dolphins players are going to be overowned as well because of their crazy performance this past week, not just the Thursday Night Heroes, but the recency bias on this. And so trying to buy in on the Dolphins in cash games, I think you're going to find yourself hanging out with a lot of other people that are going to be disappointed with Miami's performance against New England. Now, again, I have to give my disclaimer. I am a pessimistic Dolphins fan, so I am not excited about them traveling to New England to play this game.
All right, guys. It's time for our bold predictions of the week. John, we'll let you lead the way.
All right. You ready for this one?
I'm ready.
Christine Michael used to play for Seattle.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm kidding.
I'm getting out my protractor.
Revenge.
No, I can't go that route. I really think, I said earlier in the show, I think that this Pittsburgh and Cincinnati game could go into a shootout. Typically not what we see with the AFC North, but this is kind of an evolved AFC North. There's not a whole lot of defense that's happening these days. Pittsburgh last week, they played Kansas City, and Kansas City wins the game, but they won the game on field goals. But if you really watch that game, they moved the ball very, very well. I expect Cincinnati to have no trouble moving the ball against this Pittsburgh defense that has bend but not broke. This is the week that I think that the Pittsburgh defense breaks. I have Andy Dalton for 333 yards and 4 passing touchdowns this week.
Ooh, so you probably like AJ Green a good bit this week then too.
I do.
All right. Austin, bold prediction.
Well, it was going to be Austin Seferian Jenkins, but we've talked a lot about him already. Let me go with another guy we haven't talked about, Justin Forsett. He's only 6,900 at FanDuel. I like him going up against the San Diego defense this week. I've got him for 150 total yards and a touchdown.
Ooh, that's a big, big game, but very possible. I'm actually going to go Matt Forte this week. I think he is going to score 2 touchdowns this week for Chicago at home. I believe, coming off a bye week, I think Chicago gets it done. They had a bye last week, right, guys? Yeah. Yeah, so I think Forte over 150 total yards and 2 touchdowns. I think he's going to be an overlooked running back for us. Austin, we're without a Dub Smash bet, and the show is over. So what do we got to do? What do we give me something here?
Let's see. Drew Brees over under 20 points.
Oh, you're singing it.
Nudging it.
Well, here we go. 20 points. I had it at 18. Let's just, be fair, 19 fantasy points.
But the whole public was all over Drew Brees on Twitter. They had that.
Okay, 19 and a half. That's the best I'm giving you. 19.
All right, 19 and a half. You got it, buddy.
Okay, Drew Brees, 19 and a half fantasy points. Dub Smash bet this week, and I can't wait to see what Austin's going to do.
He's going to get 19.2.
And then that's going to be in regulation. Then in overtime, he'll go over. So.
Oh, you and your overtime. You're not getting overtime again, Dan.
All right, folks, that does it for us tonight. Be sure to check out Football Guys. I know we're kind of at the midpoint of the season here, but you can buy packages that go beyond even this year. I bought a 3-year package with them, so I don't have to worry about it down the road. And you've got just great columns all over the place. I even like their college football. Devin does a great job over there with that. So they cover all angles, and great guys over there. And hopefully you check them out and their Daily Crusher app. You can find that over there in the app store and put in your lineup, and it'll kind of give you some quick analysis on that. So we want to thank Football Guys for doing this show. Do check them out over here. Roto Grinders, you know, we do only daily fantasy. And of course, if you've got all this money that you've won in football and you're like, maybe I'll dip my toe in the NBA, not going to find a better source for information than right here. So we can help you out with that. Our great lineup builder tool, our Grind Down by Notorious, one of the best columns out there. I think you'll definitely make your life a little bit easier as a daily fantasy player with some of our offerings here. But that does it for us this week. Thanks again for checking us out. We'll return next Wednesday night. Till then, for Josh, I almost called you Jostin. Is that what we call you? Johnston?
Yes.
John Lee, Austin Lee, I'm Dan Bach. Have yourself a great week 8 in DFS, and we will see ya.